We've been talking about faith the last couple of weeks. In Romans 5, don't turn there, but I just want you to listen. Romans 5 tells us that faith triumphs in trouble. And I want us to know in the midst of celebration that we also have church members that are struggling with their health. And I don't want us to forget them. And I want us to know that faith triumphs in trouble as well. And that's not today's message, but I just want us, as we celebrate life, to also understand we have church members that need our continued prayers. They need healing, and they need prayers for sometimes that healing as we go through things can get us down, and they need prayers to lift them up and help hold them up. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today as well. So today, if you or one of your loved ones is going through any trials or tribulations, health issues, whatever it is, I want you to know today that if you have faith and believe, then you also have hope in Him. Those aren't just banners that we bring out at Advent season. It's the way we live our life day in and day out that we have faith and we have hope and we celebrate joy in the midst of that and peace. And we'll get into that in a minute as well. But listen to Romans chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 before we get started today. And it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, that means there's more to come, not just that, church, but we also glory or rejoice in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word. And may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. And I love that scripture. And that's kind of just a springboard today into our message. And today's message is pretty simple. Faith, hope, love. Faith, hope, and love. Now, before you guess, don't go to Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, because that's not where our scripture reference is today. You would think it would be, but it's not. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4. And as you're turning there, I just want you to think about the scripture we just read. And it says, if we have hope, we have peace. It's important right now, people are very concerned, that we have peace in our life. That we're calm, and we'll get into fear in just a little bit as well. And how do we have that peace? It says, through Jesus Christ we have peace. And now that we have that, now that we have Jesus Christ, we also have access to grace and can. Church, it's still a choice. It says, and can choose to rejoice in hope. Our trials produce perseverance, which produces character, which produces hope. God's love has been poured out into us. And it doesn't say God's love has been sprinkled sparingly onto us. It says it has been poured out, generously poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I think that's a powerful place to start, no matter where we are today, no matter what we come before the throne of God with in our life, that we now have hope by believing in Him and calling on His name. But with that in mind, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it, because this is the day He has made. And yesterday was also the day He made. And we rejoice in that, and we celebrate in that, no matter what we face. Good grief, could you imagine facing the grave with no hope, with no salvation, with no hope of spending eternity not in hell, but in heaven? That alone we should rejoice every day. And as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, and it was a really powerful thing that my wife shared, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, but yet again, we go to bed every night and set the alarm clock to wake up tomorrow morning. I shared with Pastor Eric a little earlier, I have this little sign on my desk, and I can put anything I want on there with little letters and change it, and I change it every 2 weeks. I just got it at Christmas. from one of my coworkers. And so the last 2 weeks it has said, tell someone they matter. You'd be amazed how many people found out they matter. And again, church, we're going to talk about that in a minute as well. And I shared with a young lady that hasn't worked there in a while. And it was her birthday. And many of you, hopefully all of you, get my text message that says, happy birthday. Happy anniversary. Some of you may get a message. And it simply says, I'm thinking about you today on this difficult day. 3 and 5 and 6 years later and 2 years later and a year later. And it was this young lady's birthday at work that doesn't work for us anymore. And it's in my calendar. And I thought, well, do I still need to send this? She doesn't work with me anymore. And I know I sent it last year and she didn't work with us there. Then, in the year before, and I thought about that sign on my desk, tell someone they matter. So at 7:30 at night, I sent her a text. Pretty simple. Happy birthday. I hope you have and had a great day today. Adam Dilley. She passed away last week. I don't know how, I don't know why, I don't know the circumstances. And she passed away. And I shared this with a couple people and they said, she spent her last couple days getting that message from you. And someone said, all she wanted to know was that she matters. All she wanted to do was matter to someone and you let her know that she matters. And church, I am telling you, those simple little things matter to people. And it matters to me, and I don't think God, I do think this, I'll just be honest. Thank God I sent that. Because the guilt I would have had not sending it, knowing a couple days later that she passed away, would have been too much. It just would be too much for me to think about. And we have to tell people they matter. So whatever we face and whatever we come before the throne of God with every day, when we wake up with our pains and our sufferings and our struggles and our relationships and our finances and our health, this is a day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Young people, don't think for a second that you don't matter either. And that you don't need to do that because you got a long life ahead of you. You know, I just let people know, young folks, that they matter. By the way, older folks, let the young people know that they matter. We have some amazing young people at this church. And I'm thankful for every one of them. Young people, we have some amazing older folks at this church also. And I'm thankful for every one of you. So we're in 1 John chapter 4 today. And we're going to look at faith, hope, and love. And I told you not to turn to 1 Corinthians 13:13, but I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn there, though. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And I thought, man, the greatest of these is when they're all working together. Now, I'm not coming in trying to change the Bible, but I'm telling you, when those three things work together, God's love is evident. And it prospers and it flows. And it goes from one person to the next, to the next. And it overflows. Faith, hope, and love. Now it does say the greatest of these is love. But those other two have to be in the mix of it and they have to remain. So in 1 John chapter 4, we're going to read verses 7 through 11 right now. And it said, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God loves each and every one of you. And because of that, we also ought to love one another. And that means each other. We have to follow through with these things. We can't just take it and say, okay, God loves us. Great. I've got it settled. We want to be godly people. We want to walk in the steps. We want to be a reflection of Christ and His love. Well, God is love, so it makes sense that we ought to love others. If God is love, then we have to be the walking skin and flesh, or skin and bones, the flesh of that love. I said several months ago that the reason it's so hard for us to have compassion for one another is because it hurts and it takes effort. My Lord, I've got to do, say, show, give something to someone to show them compassion. And it's simple. It could simply be our words. We'll get into that in a minute as well. Boy, I'm giving a whole lot of things that we got to get into in a minute. But we ought to love others. We ought to be walking around loving other people with the love of Christ. Now, verse 12 through 16 goes on to say, no one has seen God at any time. But it says, if we love one another, God abides in us. And His love has been perfected in us. Atlas agrees. I hear him. By this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Now listen to this verse 15. It sounds pretty simple. We may be familiar with it, but it's important that we know it and do it. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we say, God, come into my life. Be master of my life. Rule my life. I give you everything. Then it says he abides in us. And then it's easier for us to abide in him. Very hard for us to abide in him when we don't confess him as Son of God. And we have known, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Well, that's a whole lot of stuff. And it says, God abides in us. Many Christians, I want us to focus on this. Many Christians struggle in this area. And it says, again, whoever confesses in him, verse 16, I'm sorry. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Now, let's just stop there a minute, church. And those listening to us on Facebook. I really want us to focus on this. We have to know and believe the love that God has for us. And that's where we struggle a lot of times. I don't know that God loves me. I know that God loves them. But I don't believe that He loves me as much. You see, He doesn't know my past. How can He love someone like me? And that's where Christians get into trouble. Oh my goodness, we've got the Word of God right here that tells you about God's love for you. Yes, but I don't know that because I didn't read it, because I'm not a studious disciple of Christ. So I don't open that Bible except when the pastors tell me when to. We have to go outside of that and we have to study this and read this and get to know this so that we can know it and so that we can believe it. It doesn't just say it once or twice. And here there's multiple places it says this. Certainly it's true. This was here long before it was on the internet. Remember that commercial? Can't put it on the internet. It's not true. There's a ton of lies on the internet about God and His love for you. But we struggle. We have known and believed the love God has for us. And we struggle with that sometimes because we don't know it. Or we don't believe it. Or we don't believe it to its fullest extent. Well, I know He loves me a little bit. No, He loves you that much that He went to the cross and allowed Himself to be crucified on it for you. And you, and you, and you, and you, and me. And you, Atlas. Now we go on below that in verse 17. Actually, I just want to read verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I believe that's another struggle of many Christians. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. We have these walls that we put up that don't allow that love to penetrate every area of our life. Lord, I know you love me, but you know, it's this area of my finances I have to worry about. And I have fear over that. Lord, it's this fear of relationships. See, I trust you, Lord, but I don't trust this person or that person. So I protect my relationships and I have fear over that. Lord, I know you can heal me. I just don't know if you will. And I have fear over that. Because I haven't opened myself up to your love. Lord, I know you can deliver me and my two friends here from this fiery furnace. And I know you can do it. And I don't know if you will, but Lord, I'm going to love you anyway. And we're going through that furnace. And that's the attitude we have to have, that we go through that fiery furnace every day with the knowledge, with the belief, with the foundation that we know and believe that God loves us and that perfect love casts out fear. And we face that headstrong. I think, you know, for the areas, and there's nothing wrong with being concerned with certain things. I'm not talking about don't have any fear of anything. Well, we just plug along with no planning. No, we have to plan. And we have to think about these areas and think, okay, what is God going to do on all these things? But we have to allow his love to penetrate those areas that we're worried about, that we don't quite trust him in yet, and let him get through to this. Now, chapter 5. We'll flip forward with chapter 5, verse 4 through 5, and it says this: For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's our faith. Oh my goodness, now we have the power to overcome that which we fear. That which is unknown to us, facing the unknown. We all want that picture painted. Years ago, Kayla painted a picture up here of Jesus Christ. His head, it's in black and white. And it was an amazing thing. She painted it right here, little by little. We played the song, I Can Only Imagine. We brought the lights down at the very end. All the lights went out. And there was just a spotlight on that picture only as she turned it right side up, and you could clearly see the face of God. But before she got to that point, everyone's like, ooh, what is that? You know, I don't know. And that's sometimes how we go through our life and we say, what is this, God? I don't know. I feel like I'm going through life just bobbing around and flipping around. God says, yeah, I haven't turned you right side up yet. And I haven't made the picture clear to you yet. And we mentioned this months ago. Why has he not made it clear to us? We can't handle it. It's pretty simple. He says, you can't... I don't want to say that. But you can't handle the truth. That's what he says. He says, you can't handle that. If I let you know now, there's no way you'd believe me and no way you could handle it. And we have to get past that. So it says, for whatever... chapter 5, verse 4 through 5. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Man, how powerful are we? Overcomers. It talks about us throughout the Bible. Even in Revelation, it talks about the overcomers of the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And the victory is our faith. Who is he that overcomes? It's the same person I mentioned before. He that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to believe and we have to know it. We have to follow these things. Now I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Chapter 5, verse 12 through 13. And it says, he who has the Son of life. I'm sorry. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Yes, he may be alive and walking around us, but he does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So again, when we believe, we become overcomers. We now have hope. We have faith. We have hope. We've experienced the love of Christ because God is love. Now, you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Our work isn't done. Whew, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I'm going to heaven. What now? I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter. I can sit and relax. And that's what many Christians do. They sit and they relax. It's conditioning. It's constant practice and exercise. Run that race. We have to finish it strong. We have to finish the race. We must continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that is Jesus Christ. Our work as Christians, no matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been in church, we must continue to believe that. I believe that's another struggle of Christians. We have to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We have to know that we have eternal life. Well, I mean, I know the Bible says it, but I really don't know how to put that into, you know, grasp that and put it into words that I can understand. We're talking about the supernatural. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about eternity. How could we possibly fathom that? Well, I don't know if I can believe it if I just can't, you know, put my hands on it. Whew, okay, be prepared. It's going to be tough. Hang on, let me go back to the Old Testament. Okay. Whew, okay, I've warned you about it. My work is done. Now, that doesn't mean we don't have to, we have to stop warning them about it. We can continue that. But we have to believe those things. We have to believe in the name of Jesus Christ. We have to know we have eternal life. We have to continue believing in Him and in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, here's our struggle sometimes. Verse 19 through 21 in chapter 5 of 1 John. Verse 19 through 21. Why do we struggle? We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Oh, there it is. We know we're of God. Why do I continue to face these challenges and these battles? Because the entire world. Oh, just that little area in Oklahoma. No, the entire world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. I'm going to close with two scriptures. One right here. Right after that, verse 21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. And then I want to go back actually, in John 3, verse 7 and 18. And it says, little children, let no one deceive you. Church, we have an obligation to protect our little ones. And then in verse 18 it says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not enough to tell people we love them. We must go outside of that and show them how. And then I want you to flip just a couple pages back towards the end of the Bible to Jude. Jude verse 20 through 25. And it talks about us maintaining our life with God. And it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction. That means using discernment. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, but the best of these is working together. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for the grace and mercy you have showed us. Lord, we ask you to continue to guide us. Lord, to continue to show us different ways to have faith and show our faith. Lord, that in our faith we can be hope for others. And Lord, that God is love, and therefore God has loved us. We become love in action. Help us to show that to others as well. In Jesus' name.